I too matter. My black and brown skin matters. In the ebony night, I too can go missing. I too matter. Look for me as if my skin is the color of ivory, missing with silent cries. Bloody fingernails, dirt under my lifeless body. I too matter. But I am ignored. I am muted by media that looks at my skin color first and tells my community, just because my name is ethnic or my neighborhood is crime infested, they say I am not important. In the sable starless skies, I mourn my own life. My life cut too short and the masses will never know. Fight for me here today and tomorrow. In the serene blue sky, I rest. Let them know blonde is real. We are worthy of national attention immediately, not a year, not 2 weeks later, not a month, now. Blonde girl missing. Hey everybody, this is Maya Kabira and welcome to the Honey John Collective podcast. Thank you so much for coming in. This poem that I just have recited is called Blonde Girl Missing, from my book, my first book, The Evolution of a Blonde Girl. And this poem can be found on page 59. Let me give a little background on the word blonde. Blonde was a word I created to mean black and brown combined. So basically, my book was for the black and brown woman, or in other variations, black woman with brown skin, or another variation is black woman and brown woman, as I initially had stated. So it's the evolution of a blonde girl. So the synopsis of the idea of where I came about from this poem, what inspired me to write this poem, is it's a pretty serious topic, and it just deals with the idea of how alarming black women go missing and brown women go missing, and it's rarely reported, or it's underreported, or it's overshadowed by a Caucasian woman going missing. This is where this comes from, and it's been with me for a while. It's always been unsettling for me, and it's been with me for a while. Back in 2010 or 2011, I did my dissertation in grad school on the importance of the black woman going missing and how it's underreported and is swept under the rug, or we as a layperson or a citizen, we don't hear about it until months after the fact, or even a year or years after the fact, where we can't advocate for our fellow sisters. And it's always struck a chord because this is my community. So it's like, well, what's happening? What can I do? But directly stating, there's about four or five cases that inspired this poem, and I'll go over them really quickly. And I really didn't need to gather the information, but I did just to refresh myself. But they always stuck with me. So the first case I could talk about briefly was Latoya Figueroa. Latoya Figueroa was from Philadelphia, West Philadelphia. I actually have a cousin that was really good friends with her. And Latoya was 24 when she went missing and was murdered by, I believe it was her boyfriend at the time. But it didn't get national media attention until months after the fact. It kind of was overshadowed by the Natalie Holloway case back in 2005, because we all know, as soon as you say Natalie Holloway, we all know that name. We all know what happened and the ins and outs and whatever else. But when you hear Latoya Figueroa, we're like, well, who? A lot of people are like, well, who's that? Who was that woman? And Latoya was pregnant at the time of when she was murdered. And it just always stuck with me because I feel as though she didn't get that attention she deserved. We didn't know who Latoya was until... I'll give my case in point. I think I was away on summer vacation, and I remember my stepfather had got a newspaper, and it was we were in Maryland, and he got the Maryland newspaper, and we read it, and he was like, "Did you guys hear about this?" And we're like, "No." And mind you, it was me and my sister. He's like, "You guys gotta be extra careful," and you know, the whole fatherly speech. But I think that night I read that article three or four times, and I kept looking at the dates, and I thought to myself,
how come this wasn't even reported on the news? Channel 6 News, Channel 10 News, Channel 3 News, all those news stations are based in Philadelphia at the time I lived there. And I'm like, how is that not possible? So her case always stuck with me, and it always resonated with me because LaToya, she could have been me, or she could have been my sister, she could have been my cousin. It always stuck to my bones, I guess you could. It always stuck to my writing DNA when it came to writing about anything with suspense. So that's one case. Another case is, this was right before I wrote Blonde Girl Missing. Right before I wrote this, I read an article, and this was back in 2017, but the disappearance happened in 2016. Right before this poem was created, there was a case that, I don't know why this stuck to me, but it did. The girl's name was Maylin Reynoso. Maylin was 20 years old. She was a Dominican American, and she was from the Bronx. Maylin worked at a gas station, and she left the gas. She was done from her shift, and she just disappeared. And they found her body in the river. I don't know. I think it was a couple of days later or a week later, but we didn't hear anything about it. But we did hear, I forgot the Caucasian lady's name. She was jogging and was murdered, but that overshadowed Maylin's case. But the woman that was jogging and was murdered, and there's no shade to her, because that's not what it's about. I'm just an advocate for the Black and Brown community, and no one knows of this case. No one knows of this case. This was a young girl. She was 20 years old. No one knows of this case. Her body was found. There's no evidence. There's no forensics to say, okay, this is where it's going to lead. This is where it's going to go. None of that. None of that really congealed or ever happened. So that case is still unsolved today, and that was back in 2016. LaToya Figueroa's case was solved. It was the father of her unborn child. But that case still ties in with Maylin's case, because you don't hear about these cases. Like Natalie Holloway, we know what happened with that. You know, that I think that traveled on for 2-3 years. Another case that got me was Mytrice Richardson from Los Angeles. She was 24. Mytrice, I believe she went to Malibu, went to a restaurant, almost skipped out on the meal. And they called the cops on her. She went to the police station, but the police, they released her into the night, and no one knows what happened to her. Months later, they found her body in the forest. Anybody that lives in California, you know, it's vast. Like, you have to basically drive everywhere. There's a lot of forest, there's a lot of greenery. So they didn't find her body until, I think it was a year or 11 months later. There's still no leads on it. They still don't know what happened. Somebody knows something, but they don't know what happened. And then years later, you might have heard about it if you're watching the IG channel or some sort of crime channel. But it didn't make national news. It didn't make any type of national news whatsoever. And then, oh yeah, I got my notes. And then there's another case. I believe her name was Phoenix Colden. She was 24. She was a Black woman, and she disappeared from her parents' driveway. Just like that. Just disappeared. And to this day, they still don't have any leads or investigations, and it didn't make any type of big news or national news or even international news until years later. I don't know. It's hard to talk about these type of cases because I find myself super vulnerable when I talk about it and when I think about it, because typically right now it's 2020, the year 2020, and human trafficking is huge. But human trafficking is not exactly what I'm getting at, because that's not where Blonde Girl Missing derived from. It derived from actual missing cases, and we not know what happened. There's trails when it comes to human sex trafficking. So that's I want to make that distinction. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how Black women and brown women, we don't get the actual national attention when it comes to an actual missing case. And it's devastating, and it's draining, and it's worrisome. And I'm like, well, what can we do? How can we get that support where if we go missing, we don't know our community or any community at that point, they don't know about it, or we don't know about it until months later or from a crime television show. It's frustrating. I remember when I was doing my dissertation and I had to present, I remember there were a couple of Caucasian women in the class that made it known that they didn't agree with my findings and with my examples and with my statistics. They were like, well, that's not true. How could you say it's not true? You're on the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm letting you know that this is true. This is the actual fact. I mean, currently, case in point, Black kids go missing more at an alarming rate than white kids. We would never know that. We would never know that unless you read, unless you do your research, unless you find out certain things that you have questions about. You have questions. You want your questions answered. That's the only way. It was a really difficult moment for me to write that piece because I still feel the exact same way. Sometimes when I write things, I look back and say, oh, I've healed. I can still talk about it. But this I still so feel so strongly about. And the cases that I just brought up to you guys, I still feel strongly about. I just want Black women and brown women to get that representation that we deserve. Like, if something happens to us, I want us to feel protected. I want us to get that national coverage. I want us within not even 24 hours to be on some sort of news circuit, some sort of news market. Granted, you got to get all the facts together, but within that week span, everyone should be knowing our name if we go missing. It shouldn't be a case of, apples versus oranges. Well, this one's white. Let's do her because she has big doughy blue eyes and blonde hair. No, that's not how it should work. But right now, for years, decades, that's how it's working. And I just wanted to stop. And I want to find a way where I can help if this happens, where someone goes, one of our daughters or our aunties or our mothers or our girlfriends, our best friends go missing. I want to be an advocate for that. And that is truly the voice and the passion behind why I decided to write Blonde Girl Missing. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, you could always do. It's a voice message. Leave me a voice message if you want me to cover another poem and just get why, what inspired me. You can just drop that message right there. And also, my books can be found also on Kindle. I didn't let that be known, but my books, if you have a Kindle book, they also can be found on Kindle, Amazon, or just if you want a hard copy of the book, they also can be found on Amazon. Amazon.com or Kindle, Amazon, whichever one, I'm available. And I'm also on aliwazas.com. That's aliwazas.com. Just look under the Honey John Collective Bookstore. I am there. But those are my thoughts on why I created Blonde Girl Missing. And it's still hard to think about, but I just want better for us, period. Like, if something happens within our community and one of ours go missing, I want it to be known. I don't want it to be like, oh, I never knew that. And you look at the timestamp, and it was 2 years ago, it was 3 years ago, or it was 4 months ago. It wasn't an immediate response. We too matter. We are important. Thank you.